What if I told you that right now, as you read this sentence, your brain is quietly deceiving you about your future? Not maliciously, but systematically, painting tomorrow in rosier hues than reality will likely deliver. About 80% of us walk around convinced that our personal futures will be brighter than statistics suggest, that we're less likely than our neighbors to get divorced, develop cancer, or fail at our goals. This isn't personality or temperament, it's neuroscience. Our brains are hardwired with an optimism bias so fundamental that it operates below conscious awareness, shaping every decision we make. Your brain didn't evolve to show you truth, it evolved to keep you alive. Consider the checker shadow illusion, where two identical gray squares appear dramatically different because your visual system corrects for shadows. Even knowing they're identical doesn't help. You still see different shades. This isn't a bug, it's a feature. For most of human history, quickly interpreting shadows mattered more than perfect accuracy. Cognitive illusions work the same way, but they're far harder to detect in ourselves. Take the superiority illusion. 93% of American drivers rate themselves above average, mathematically impossible, yet we all nod along, certain we're the exception. When a pilot with thousands of flight hours crashes because his brain insists the plane is level when it's banking toward disaster, or when we confidently explain choices we never actually made, we're witnessing the same phenomenon. Our neural systems create compelling illusions we mistake for reality. The question isn't whether we're biased, it's whether this beautiful lie serves us or sabotages us. Research on choice blindness reveals how unreliable our self-knowledge is. When researchers secretly switched participants' choices, swapping photos or jam flavors they'd selected, 75% failed to notice, yet confidently explained reasoning for choices they never made. We construct plausible stories after the fact rather than accessing our mental processes directly. Jay, a scrub jay on Cambridge's campus, demonstrates remarkable planning abilities. She hides food where she'll wake up, varies storage for dietary diversity, and rehides food if suspects watched. Jay isn't reacting to hunger. She's mentally projecting herself into tomorrow morning. This mental time travel depends on the hippocampus. London taxi drivers who memorize 25,000 streets physically enlarge their posterior hippocampi while shrinking anterior portions. Upon retirement, their brains revert to normal. Your hippocampus doesn't just store memories, it's your future simulator. But foresight delivered a curse, awareness of mortality. Biologist Ajit Varkil argues conscious future thinking could only evolve alongside false beliefs, specifically optimism bias. Without it, our ancestors would have been paralyzed by death's certainty. The optimism bias isn't a flaw, it's the price of being human. In June 1987, Lakers coach Pat Riley guaranteed a championship repeat, something no team had achieved since 1969. They won, but when reporters asked about a three-peat, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar physically covered Riley's mouth, later admitting the weight of expectations had been almost unbearable. Riley's guarantee shows how expectations create reality through measurable neuroscience. Consider Clever Hans, the mathematical horse who solved calculations by reading microscopic bodily cues from questioners who unconsciously tensed at correct answers. The same mechanism explains the Pygmalion effect. When teachers believed randomly selected students were intellectually superior, those students scored higher on year-end IQ tests. Brain imaging reveals why. When we expect success but fail, our medial prefrontal cortex generates a powerful error detection signal that drives learning. When we expect failure, our brains accept errors as inevitable. Yet here's the paradox. While private optimism is commonplace, public optimism is vanishingly rare. After Obama's 2008 election, 80% of Americans felt optimistic about the next 4 years. Yet before the 2008 collapse, 93% of Britons felt optimistic about their family's future, but only 17% about other families. Despite crime declining for nearly a decade, 83% believed violence was rising. This stems from perceived control. we feel optimistic about what we believe we can influence, while acknowledging zero control over national finances makes us pessimistic about those domains. Our ability to predict happiness sources is surprisingly abysmal. Weekly gardening correlates with life satisfaction, as does having office plants and attending religious services. Meanwhile, having children shows a negative correlation. Happiness decreases after children arrive, reaches its nadir during teenage years, and only recovers to pre-child levels once they leave home. The wealth-happiness relationship reveals surprising limits. People earning over $100,000 report twice the happiness of those under $30,000, yet the gap between median and top earners nearly disappears. National happiness rises with GDP only to a threshold, beyond which wealth adds nothing. Lottery winners return to baseline happiness within a year. Weber's law explains this. A $50 bonus feels significant on a $70 paycheck, but vanishes into $10,000. Optimistic brains show heightened activity in the amygdala and rostra anterior cingulate cortex when imagining positive futures. The RACC amplifies positive signals while muting negative ones, creating vivid hopeful visions while leaving threats blurry. Depression exposes this system's failure. After breakups, 85% eventually heal, but 15% spiral into clinical depression. Pessimists blame themselves, see relationships as permanently doomed, and generalize failure everywhere. Optimists attribute breakups to external factors, view them as temporary setbacks, and maintain confidence in other domains. Martin Seligman's Verned Helplessness experiments demonstrated how dogs receiving unavoidable shocks later remained passive even when escape became possible, mirroring depression's paralysis. Genetic studies showed disrupted serotonin transporter genes amplify stress responses through heightened amygdala activation and weakened anterior cingulate connectivity. Helen Mayberg pioneered deep brain stimulation targeting the subgenual cingulate cortex, improving 2/3 of severe depression cases. Brain scans revealed the same pathways breaking down in depression mediate optimism bias in healthy people. While healthy brains filter toward positive futures, depressed ones see potential misfortunes too clearly. Mildly depressed individuals demonstrate depressive realism, accurately predicting events without optimistic distortion. This suggests the optimism bias isn't a pleasant illusion, but essential scaffolding for mental health. The perfect Guinness takes 119.5 seconds to pour, creating anticipation many consider as vital as the drink itself. Economist George Lowenstein found people would pay more for a celebrity kiss scheduled in 3 days than an immediate one, balancing anticipation pleasure with impulsivity. Friday ranks higher than Sunday despite being a workday because it promises rest ahead. While we extend anticipation of positive events, we minimize waiting for negative ones. Participants would pay almost double to avoid an electric shock in 10 years compared to immediately. Some even chose larger immediate shocks over smaller delayed ones. Brain imaging shows the brain's pain matrix activating during anticipation, similarly to actual pain. Yet temporal discounting, valuing present rewards over future ones, pulls us oppositely. People who discount future rewards heavily show greater brain activity differences between current and future selves, treating future selves as strangers. Most find aging images aversive, avoiding retirement planning altogether, unwilling to sacrifice present comfort for someone they perceive as entirely different. My friend Tim receives an annual all-expenses-paid vacation anywhere in the world. He agonizes over destinations, changing his mind repeatedly. Yet once he commits, uncertainty vanishes, and his selection suddenly seems superior to all alternatives. Psychologist Jack Brehm discovered this in 1956. Housewives rated wedding gifts, chose between equally valued options, then rated them again. Invariably, chosen items rose in value while rejected ones fell. This choice-induced preference has been replicated hundreds of times, even with capuchin monkeys and amnesiacs who couldn't remember choosing. Brain imaging reveals this happens in the caudate nucleus, our reward center, suggesting our hedonic response genuinely changes after commitment. But we must believe we're choosing ourselves. When monkeys were simply given M&Ms, preferences remained unchanged. Lance Armstrong's cognitive dissonance theory explains why. Choosing between similar alternatives creates psychological discomfort. By reevaluating options afterward, enhancing the chosen, devaluing the rejected, we reduce this tension. Lance Armstrong, uniquely qualified as both Tour de France champion and cancer survivor, surprisingly chooses the latter. "I would rather have the title of cancer survivor than winner of the tour because of what it has done for me as a human being." Paraplegics report normal enjoyment levels just a year after accidents. Divorced individuals return to baseline happiness within years. Yet, we consistently overestimate how devastated we'd be by such hardships. Matt Hampson, paralyzed on the neck down during rugby training, exemplifies this. "Life is different now. It's not over, it's different. And it's not any worse. Some ways, it's better." When Soviet spy Leopold Trepper warned Stalin about Hitler's imminent invasion in 1941, Stalin dismissed it, clinging to the non-aggression pact. The June 22, 1941 attack proved catastrophic. We share this tendency. People believe they're less likely than average to experience cancer, actual risk 33%, or divorce, actual risk 50%, a mathematical impossibility called optimism bias. Brain imaging reveals why. Our frontal lobes track prediction errors well for positive information, but poorly for negative, maintaining unrealistic optimism despite evidence. Yet optimism offers advantages. Optimistic cancer patients under 60 survived longer than pessimists. Optimists recovered faster from bypass surgery and work longer, save more, and smoke less, but only moderate optimists. Optimism functions like red wine, beneficial in moderation, hazardous in excess. The Sydney Opera House exemplifies the dangers. Budgeted at $7 million over 6 years, it cost $102 million and took 10 years. The solution isn't abandoning optimism, but becoming aware of biases, like pilots who understand vertigo while flying. Remain optimistic while taking precautions. Get screenings despite believing in long life. Add buffer time to projects. Plan pragmatically. Let optimism fuel ambition, but let awareness guide actions. The most powerful optimism isn't blind faith. It's clear-eyed hope that knows the odds and plays anyway.